look up, and the other was to look ahead. To look up at the Lord and to look ahead at the future. Because although it may not look good now, it will be good. Because there will be an end. There will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Now in verse 20, here we've got the same thing. There shall be no reward, put negatively, to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Darkness will be their ultimate lot. And then here comes the look up, my son. But there's a new instruction here, and that says, and the king. Fear the Lord and the king. I think the reason that this is put here is because when we envy the wicked, we think, well, what's the way they got that way? They did it get-rich-quick scheme, or they did it in some illegal way, and there's just a temptation to come out from under authority, and if that's going to be the prosperity, we'll do it that way. So he's saying here, to keep under authority. Would you like to just look up quickly, 13, 1 to 7? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. This is quite fantastic. This is written at a time when they had the kind of emperors like Nero, utterly wicked emperors. And here are these instructions. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. That's quite something, isn't it? And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay all of them their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. I think that we sometimes need to be reminded that our paying of taxes is obeying God's word. We don't always think that way, but it's a good for us to be. Is not only obeying the laws of the land, not only being loyal and praying for those in authority, but also by even those things which seem so mundane, like paying taxes. All right, in the fifth point in verses 23 to 26 is impartiality and honesty. These are also wise words. It's not good to have respect of persons. He that saith to the wicked, you are righteous, him shall the people curse. Him that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Kissing of the lips is the sign of peace. And peace will ultimately come, though the process of getting it may seem like a threat. It may seem like a threat to have to rebuke wrong in a situation. We just don't like to do it naturally. I've been in a situation just recently as where a group where I have a deep love and affection and loyalty have a special festival. And it was easy. In fact, I was shown the area where they were going to have a Vesper service. And part of me just thrilled at the thought they were going to have a Vesper service, but I knew about this other. And it came to me, you speak the truth in love. So I said, we deeply regret to know that there's going to also be here a fortune teller. And with that, we've had to have some correspondence since. And I realized how painful it is to stand against what is evil. Yet, you know, and the reason why it's well to do this. Verse 23. to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Why would I rebuke the fortune teller? Why would it even be necessary? Not because it was my opinion against their opinion. They called and just before a board meeting, and they want to know our position and so on. We said, you see, we had to write all the words of the scripture because we said it's not opinion to change your plan to please us. That isn't going to be what's counting. God has ordained it that we will receive a blessing if we go his way. And he's the authority that is warned against all the works of the enemy, the evil one, the occult, and the horoscope, and all the other things that we go after in this world today. So it's the good blessing that's going to come upon them. And with that, I just had such a sense of joy. I said, I've done them a favor. They're going to have a blessing. And I was so thrilled that a wonderful thing's going to happen, and no sign of the fortune teller. I'm not sure that it's not going to go on, but at least it was taken off, I guess, that advertising. Oh, God heard our prayer and just simply erased it. Okay. Because there's a reward to those of us who adhere to God's commands. All right, then. And section 6, 28 to 29. It says, be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and deceive not with your lips, as he hath done to me. I don't know what the opposite of the golden rule is. I don't know whether you call this the brass rule or the iron rule. I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work, vengeance. So enemies. This is how we handle enemies, this section. The trouble with that attitude is that we are playing God. We are the one who's taken on the judgment seat. And the Lord himself has told us that we don't need to, because he's already 12. 18 to 21. Let's go back to 14. It's what we've been mentioning over and over, but it's so good for us to be reminded, isn't it? Because I think each week, one way or another, we have a little fresh attacks from different places, and we just need to see again and just live in God in the pantry of our minds, and then when we need it, he'll bring it right back to us. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. And do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, I like that expression, if possible, it depends upon you. Now, that's a really important little point. Insofar as it depends upon us. And I think that this is the most important scripture for those who have sensitive consciences and who are not in a good relationship with somebody and who are taking on what I'd call a false guilt. If we have truly forgiven, and if we are clean and cleansed in our conscience before God and have asked for forgiveness for our reactions to their actions, them and praying for them and doing good to them, if the reconciliation hasn't come about, we have no guilt. Now that to me is good news. That's real good news. That's a comforting news. But we've got to really be honest and allow the searchlight of God's truth to really illuminate us. So far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Are we living as far as our part is concerned? Then, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. And then it will be his conscience that will burn, you see. You do not be overcome by evil, but you overcome evil by good. It's the light that take out light if genuine light is present. But light can, one little candle can illuminate a whole room of darkness. So we can be that one little light in that place. We can shed some of God's love and light in a place. Oh, so we say, that's just great. Now I'm off the hook. I don't have to be vengeful. But what's our next problem? We have another problem, and it's this one. Verses 15 to 18. In verse 17, we may decide, well, we'll leave it to God, and before we know it, our wicked hearts, we see what happens. We're just rejoicing, and we're gloating, aren't we? Because he has got his vengeance. And I can tell you, we're in that position right today in our experience in this family. We're in the position of seeing something happen, and is this word ever so much for me? We are seeing God turning around some of the tables. We've seen some of his deliverances in some situations. And now it's so easy just to feel a little gleeful, you know. And that's just as, what is the warning? The warning is implied, I think, in verse 18, that it might so displease the Lord that he'll turn it around and take away his wrath from the evildoer, shall we say, the enemy, and it would sound as if the implication being that he'll turn the wave around and it'll come back on you. I think that could be read into that. I'm not sure. I'll leave that to you to interpret that. But there's something important to know. However strong the enemy is, verse 15, however much he may determine, and I use enemy in a very broad sense, Satan behind it all, and many, many attacks he has, ways of handling, overcoming you, his victory is never permanent. See? His victory is never permanent. For a just man falls seven times, but why is it never permanent? Because God is there with his right hand to lift him up again, right? He lifts him up again. So it's never permanent. And the battle is not ours, but God's. The last section is 30 to 34, slothfulness. Says you go by the field of the slothful and you see the vineyard and lo, it's all grown up with thorns and the wall is broken down. And then it says in verse 32, I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Let's say that one of the ways that God has to teach us is by observation. That he teaches us by our own mistakes, but thank the Lord that we don't have to go through making all of them ourselves. If we just observe, we can see how we reap what we sow, and he's teaching us if we've got the eyes to see it. And then I want to say this. It looks in this area of slothfulness as if it would be so innocent, doesn't it? In verse 33, it's so subtle. So subtle is the temptation, and so sudden is the disaster or the awareness of it. Notice in verse 33, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. The victim here doesn't intend to really sleep his life away. He's just having a little pleasure, sensuous pleasure right for the moment. Just a little, just a little. Sounds so innocent. But in verse 34, suddenly he's awakened to the fact that his opportunity has passed. Suddenly, what became just a day of laziness, a day of procrastination, a day of putting off, a day of letting go, a day of negligence, suddenly has added up, and lo, just like a robber, or just as defenseless as an armed person's attack, so the victim lies there, recognizing the disaster of his folly. By comparison, we end with verse 27. Here's a person who's enjoying his house before his work. He's enjoying the comforts of home rather than the work that goes with it. But here in verse 27, it says to prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field. To be diligent in our work is more important to the Lord than just enjoying the comforts of his gifts that go with it. I just conclude on this section. Some of the rewards are expressed, some of them are not. Some of them are left to our imaginations, or shall we say for revelation as you go on. Some are individually given as we go on in the Christian life. There are various kinds of rewards. Some are for now, and some are for the future. All the kinds of rewards. But this is the one point that I want to leave with us this morning. There shall be a reward. There shall be a reward. And God's reward is his vindication of his word. That his word stands. Doesn't matter what other thoughts, other lifestyles, other philosophies, other ways of thinking, what tampering we may think we can do with it. His word stands, sure as a foundation. It's a pure word. It's a strong word, an everlasting word. In the beginning was the word, and at the end his word shall be vindicated. Let's ask the Lord that we take it seriously. Oh, loving Father, as we just gather up the meditations of this morning to you, we ask that this which is profound and certainly far beyond our human understanding, Lord, that it not be our words, but your word. I pray, Father, that you will, by your Spirit, write your word deep within our lives, that we may ourselves be living epistles for others to read, O God. And I just thank you that this is your work, and this is our desire. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you too that you are gracious to bring a reward to those who will follow your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen.